So with cooler temperatures in store for the weekend, I've got a heartwarming show for you. Randy Nicholas, he is the president at 211 Big Ben. He'll be with me in the second hour. Melanie Mays will be with me in the first hour, the director for the Artists Series. And Scott Pliskin, veterinarian at Mahan Animal Clinic, he'll be with me in the business spotlight. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com. Another exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks. As we begin our eighth season in February, we are thrilled to tell you it's been a remarkable journey. Over the last 7 years, when we have had opportunity to talk with people around the region, around town, telling us more about who we are, what we're doing, who Tallahassee is in the world, what we bring to the world, what we know about ourselves. And sometimes that's fun stuff, and sometimes it's not so fun. Sometimes we've had to hear the heart-wrenching details of stories that just leave you scratching your head, if not grabbing your handkerchief. It's tough when you have reality come at you the way it does, right? Well, that's kind of the way it is for us. We're unvarnished here. Try to bring you an honest look at everything that Tallahassee is, was, and can be. More often, we're looking at where we're headed and what's new, what's happening in this new town of Tallahassee, the new Tallahassee that we find a bit more collaborative, perhaps, and inclusive. But certainly, there are opportunities abounding, whether it's in arts and entertainment or science and technology, business, economy, economic developments. It's a happening place. And as those things are happening along the way, we have to do our due diligence in questioning, is this the right move to make at this moment? That is to say, we do so collectively in terms of who we put in office or what measures we approve, how we go about governing ourselves, those things that we agree to support informally, whether it's a nonprofit organization like 211 or the Artist Series. Both of these organizations are funded through donations and grants. Yeah, so that's kind of where you and I get to vote outside of the otherwise oftentimes conflicted and confusing electoral process. You know, you get to vote every day as to whether you want to help people who are in need or you want to help celebrate the world's greatest chamber music. Yeah, that's what the Artist Series does. Melanie Mays has been doing that for a while. She'll be talking with me here shortly. And what's coming up here? In March the 17th, you got Telegraph Quartet. They're fantastic. That's Eric Chin and Joseph Maley on the violin. This is a string quartet. So you've got violin, viola, and cello. and they'll be performing selections of Mozart. And let's see, who else do they have? Weinberg, several others, selections for that particular show. Again, that's on the 17th of March. But the point I'm making here is simply how this organization, in and of itself and by itself, responsible for bringing you world-class chamber music that is unduplicated. You're not going to find this in any other fashion. There are lots of other performing arts groups in town. This one has a lock on this unique ability to bring us people who are themselves performing at a level that is enviable and is, without exaggeration, world class in caliber. So there you go. The artist series, Melanie Mays will give us her view on how that whole thing is going. You know, the artist series has been around for a while, and they continue to press on in spite of downtrends in funding and how difficult it is for the way in which funding is made available. It's getting further and further splintered, I would say. So when you're looking at this pot of money that comes by way of organizations like COCA, they in and of themselves are subject to the demands of the number of requests that they get for that same money. And they're just one organization. But it's an example of how difficult it is for a group like the Artist Series to compete with some larger organizations, perhaps. And, you know, when it comes to it, and Melanie will talk about this, they do a lot of things that are investing in our kids. The Artist Series promotes educational programs, not all of which happen in Leon County schools. Some in Gadsden County, some in Jefferson County. Well, okay, the problem they run into is that the funding that is otherwise available to them all of a sudden evaporates because they're not using that money to drive traffic, and I mean visits from outsiders, you know, people coming to Tallahassee to stay in the hotels and eat at the restaurants. Well, okay, so that's where that money is supposed to be spent, and that leaves people like the Artist Series scrambling to try to fund these other parts of their programs that don't support that particular mission. You know, so the bed tax, as it's called, you know, that money is supposed to be used to promote hotel occupancy. So if you're doing something, well, you got to show these folks, hey, you know, I'm a draw here for the Tallahassee area. Yeah, well, what are you doing over there in Monticello, see? Well, apart from the fact that you're helping, you know, 5 and 10 and 12-year-olds learn more about arts, music specifically, you know, that may be a noble mission, but, you know, that doesn't scratch our back. So, sorry, you're on your own. That's the kind of rethinking we got to do. And if we need to create other organizations, maybe another foundation that says, look, if you're in the business of advancing who we are culturally, who we are technologically, well, then we're going to support you in that effort. And it doesn't have to do with, you know, 5 or 6 zip codes or the confines of Leon County. It has to do with seeing this region as our home, seeing that Tallahassee is actually 5 counties, not simply a couple of zip codes on the northeast side of town. So you see what I'm saying here, folks. We have to rethink how we go about making our mark in the world. Where do we go from here? What do we want to do 5 years from now? How do we imagine Tallahassee growing over the next decade? Well, if it's going to continue the way it has, it'll serve those interests that are confined geographically to a handful of business owners, a handful of business organizations. Or if we want to expand our view, perhaps we'll realize that what's going on over there in Bay County, the Panama City area, the impact on our community is incredibly demanding. Talk to plumbers and electricians and builders right now who cannot get to any of their regular customers because everything they're doing is taking care of all that has happened as a result of Hurricane Michael. Yeah, we have got to see ourselves as one part of a very, very big community. 211 Big Bend understands that. Randy Nicholas will be with me in the second hour to talk about that part of the story. So you don't want to miss that. Stay with me. I've got more coming up. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans king cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
The good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In the business spotlight, longtime veterinarian, good friend of this show, and the good friend of so many furry little critters out there and their animals. Dr. Scott Pliskin is in the house. How are you, Doc?
You took my line.
I'm sorry.
But that's good.
You know what? Yeah. Now that we are here to talk about your practice, and being that you are a longtime contributor to the show, there's probably some things we should get caught up on as far as what is happening these days with the business itself. And you've been in practice, I don't know how many.
33
years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Old enough to know better.
You
right.
bet.
Yeah.
But I'm still doing it.
The more common occurrences, things that, you know, come your way, I'm sure are the, you know, the things that animal lovers and owners deal with, whether it's a, you know, some kind of an infection.
Disease of the week or something like that. Yeah.
What's kind of the trending these days? Are we seeing any epidemic stuff going on, or is it just the household
That's
variety?
That's an interesting, we're starting to see, at least on the human side, a rise in a disease called leptospirosis. That's a bacteria. And it's something that we get. And one of the safeguards is to make sure your pet, especially dogs, are vaccinated against us. They can form the barrier between the source of the disease and you.
Interesting.
Yes.
And it's called
leptospirosis. It means a spiral, looks like a corkscrew under a microscope. A spiral, it's a spirochete. It's a corkscrew shaped.
And
bacteria.
It is a bacterium.
Yes.
And
yes.
It infects us, and then we pass it on
to? No, the dogs can bring it.
Ah.
It's out there in the environment.
Ah.
Environment.
Right.
Okay.
So,
English teacher.
So my dog is out there running around.
He's drinking dirty water.
Yeah.
You know, eating rats and whatnot. And then, you know, you somehow become contaminated.
He comes running in from playing outside and licks
right.
my face.
Yes,
and there
yes.
we go.
You're right.
Perfect.
And it'll knock out a bunch of systems, but primarily it goes after your liver and kidneys, depending on the strain. It's ugly. You don't want to.
Not good.
But there is.
Okay.
I've seen in the media a rise, a noticeable rise in
the
human infections.
So I need to check in with my doctor about this, right?
Well,
is there any kind of, no, what we're going to do is vaccinate the dog
that
I am better protected for my own pooch.
Do what you can. I mean, you're not going to roll around in, you know, muddy water from a raccoon, but, you know, vaccinating your pet, and this is not a special vaccination. Okay. This isn't, oh, I got a special order, it's an extra $50. It's part of the DHLPP, the distemper, hepatitis, and a few. And so most dogs, especially dogs come to me, are vaccinated yearly against it.
Okay.
The trick is, there's always
a catch,
a rub,
right?
Is that there are at least four different strains that I know of, probably more, I'm sure, and not all vaccines will cover, you know, all those different serotypes, they're called. And I'm not trying. I'm not saying this just to scare people. Come in and pay me to shoot their.
I'm already scared.
Yeah,
so I started there.
Right. Okay.
That's why you're here to calm me down.
Let me calm you down. It's a very common and usually included vaccination for dogs.
All right, and it seems to suggest that if there is a rise in this, that people just haven't been.
Been vaccinating their dogs
as they ought to.
Also, all kinds of vermin spread it. Wild animal, you know, foxes, whatnot, and rats. Rats, you know, they're the hitman for everybody. You don't know what the cause is, blame a rat. You know, you know, that's
thus the reference in common vernacular.
Yes,
yeah, dirty rat.
The dirty rat.
I got it.
It's the dirty rats that well, look at Europe,
200
years ago,
and
now.
Four-legged ones.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. So if
James Cagney reference.
Thank you very much. If we are going on this recommendation here, the next thing we can do, rather than try to test for this, we just say, look, make sure my dog's vaccinations are up to date.
Yeah, give yourself a fighting chance.
Okay.
Any tests are, you know, an add-on expense. You know, my dogs aren't tested. I just vaccinate
just
them on a regular basis.
Yeah, right.
And,
last thing, nutritional concerns for animals. We're seeing a lot of the, you know, diabetes happening in humans, right? There's a lot of advancement, a lot of brands out there now talking about specialized foods.
Good for you.
What's
I
your
get hit with this
thought?
Baby, and there may be veterinarians who would differ with me greatly. Certainly, there are drug reps who would take umbrage at what I will say. A well-known and commercial brand, be it Purina, be it Pedigree. I know people can say, what about gluten? How many people have problems with gluten? You know, what do wolves eat? They say, well, no wheat today, you know. A well-balanced commercial diet. And the best thing I could tell is people, talk to your veterinarian. You know, he may and probably does have a different opinion than I do.
Well, and that's specific to the breed and that particular animal, right?
And his life stage.
Yeah,
and
okay.
A whole bunch of circumstances go into what he should or could eat.
Okay.
You know?
But before we start jumping into the high-priced stuff,
right.
Check in with the vet, find out what's best.
Yeah.
Okay.
If anybody is able to deal with that, he will be the guy.
Well, we have that guy right here, folks. Dr. Scott Pliskin, Mahan Animal Clinic, 33 years in practice and going strong. He is the man when you want to talk about dogs, cats, lizards, even dirty rats.
Yes.
He's probably got a few dirty rat stories for you.
Oh, okay. Do I ever.
What's that phone number?
The phone number and operators are standing. We don't have operators.
We don't. No.
Okay. It's area code 850-402-0557.
0557.
And I'll rush back to the practice.
Absolutely.
And keep my ear out for you.
Waiting for the call.
You bet.
Okay, my friend. And you've got a website, too, as well, I think.
Yes, I do.
Which is
MahanAnimalClinic.com. Yeah.
Perfect.
@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
But yeah, look us up and
Mahan Animal Clinic.
And
okay.
I'll probably have to update it.
Well,
but
we all?
Yes.
We need to stay updated on all that sort of stuff. But thank you for updating us.
Thank you for having
all
me.
Of this information.
Always fun.
Great man, great professional, great veterinarian, Dr. Scott Pliskin. We'll see you again next time.
Okay, shall do.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up right after this.
Saturday, January 26th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the internationally acclaimed Tallahassee Community Chorus presents Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org. Tallahassee Community Chorus Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education and featuring the choirs of Lawton Childs, Leon, Lincoln, and West Orange High Schools, and Bach Middle School of the Arts. Tallahassee Community Chorus, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, Florida State University. Thrill to the inspiring songs and combined voices of six choirs and orchestra, featuring the performance of Howard Hanson's Song of Democracy. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Melanie Mays is a director, a music director, choreographer, a very nice person, too, and the founding director of something called MADCO. She has performed professionally for over 40 years, including roles as Vera and Denise in Smoke on the Mountain, Roxy in Chicago, Sister Robert Ann and Sister Leo in Nonsense. The list goes on, and her work continues in Tallahassee, serving in a number of capacities, not only this MADCO thing that we're going to talk with her about, but germane to the conversation today, the work she does as the executive director for the artist series. Let's welcome our good guests, our good friend and guest, Melanie Mays. How are you, Melanie?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking.
You're looking good.
Well, thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
it's
you,
been
too.
A bit of time since we had you back,
yes.
And you've been running all here and
I've
there.
Been busy.
Trying to get it all done, and,
yep.
And we got to cut right to the chase here. Yep. Talking about the season you have up ahead, which is stunning for the artist series. And for those of you who are new to the conversation here, the artist series, in very simple terms, brings to you and I world-class chamber music from around the world that you and I would no other way be able to enjoy here in the town of Tallahassee. Now, you might travel across the world, or, you know, domestically, you might go to Los Angeles or Chicago, New York, whatever, pay a bunches of money to do this, but nope, the artist series says, got you covered. We're going to bring these fantastic musicians, vocalists, violinists, cellists, all kinds of things, brass, ensembles. They all come to Tallahassee courtesy of the artist series. Melanie, you've been at the helm now for, I know it feels like about a decade, but it's only been, what?
2.5
about
years.
About 2.5 years. Because, folks, you got to understand, if you are working in the arts in Tallahassee, and for that you are working in a nonprofit organization that is not heavily funded by the state of or the university of, you know, you're pretty much having to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And there's a lot of folks out there like Melanie who are doing that. We talk with them all the time. But it is striking, and this is why I love having you on the show, Melanie, because you bring to us what I find most remarkable, most treasured about Tallahassee, and that is that you do it for the love of it. Yeah. You know, the classic definition of amateur, someone who does this for the love of it. And I'm certain that in your life, sometimes that love can run a little thin, because after all, you do got to pay your bills. And yet, you know, you just press on for the sake of the mission, for the sake of the cause, for the sake of us who are better off. And let's talk about how that gets played out in your contribution to local education. So you have this artist in residence program that brings to local schools, and I mean around the metro area, including Wakulla, Jefferson, Gaston counties, opportunities for these kids to have firsthand experience. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, the Artist in Residence program has been going on for quite a while. I'm not exactly sure how long, I'm thinking at least 20 years through the Artist Series. And what we do is once a year, usually in January, we ask that artist to go and perform in the public schools and the charter schools, and you know, frankly, just about any school that's really interested. This year, we're going to visit about 4 to 5 schools per day starting today. So we actually have 2 this afternoon, then four or more tomorrow. We're seeing on Friday a bunch of schools because we're also going to the Leaf Theater in Quincy, and we're going to have 3 to 4 schools just there at the Leaf Theater. Then we come back to Tallahassee and we do more schools. And just to be clear, the funding for this comes through grants. All of the schools that we see in Tallahassee are funded through the COCA grant and the State of Florida grant. The schools that we go to in Wakulla and Gadsden County and Jefferson are usually funded through other sources, and we're still actually kind of working on that funding right now, but I'm very confident we will get that. Anyway, so we go in, we take these artists in, they play a 40 to 45 minute program, and it's an interactive program for the students. So we're seeing everything from kindergarten all the way up through, you know, 18-year-olds in high school. And they play their instruments, they explain the instruments, they show them the range of the instruments, they play pieces that they're probably going to also play on their concert that's on Sunday.
Folks, when you talk about an organization that looks first at how they can best serve the community, well, you have to start by talking about how the Artist Series invests itself in the lives of all of these people, kids, students, elderly, and you and me, who otherwise would not be as well served. And there's something quite appropriate, I think, about chamber music. And we can get into talking a little bit about that. We're going to take a quick break here. I've got Melanie Mays. She's the executive director for the Artist Series. We're going to also talk about her work with MADCO and this rather remarkable performance they have, Beehive, coming up here, the 60s musical with MADCO and Aspen String Trio. Very cool stuff. We'll be right back. You stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Saturday, January 26th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the internationally acclaimed Tallahassee Community Chorus presents Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org. Tallahassee Community Chorus Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education and featuring the choirs of Lawton Childs, Leon, Lincoln, and West Orange High Schools, and Bach Middle School of the Arts. Tallahassee Community Chorus, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, Florida State University. Thrill to the inspiring songs and combined voices of 6 choirs and orchestra, featuring the performance of Howard Hanson's Song of Democracy. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans king cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth.
Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
The good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.
Wooden Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Wooden Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Wooden's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Wooden Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Wooden Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Learning Program today. Or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. childcare.fsu.edu, 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Melanie Mays. Madco started when you were just a child, I think, weren't you? you were just getting started in the business. And
yeah.
All, it seems.
Seems and, that way.
And for those who are, again, are new to the conversation, Madco is the acronym for the Monticello Acting and Dance Company. You guys, I mean, when you think about the lay of the land here, think about the fact that you set up shop in Monticello, Florida, in Jefferson County, which, with all due respect, is not the mecca for arts and entertainment in North Florida. And we have this remarkable theater, epic in its position there in Monticello. I mean, it's just has that sort of, you know, grand old lady sort of feel to it. Itself, an historic structure. And you come along with this rather fresh idea and say, we can do top-rated professional productions and draw a great crowd. And you've done it.
Yeah.
And you've done it consistently for years.
Yeah, I think this is our 13th or 14th year now.
Yeah.
Because I moved from New York City in 2003, lived in Tallahassee for like a year and a half, and then went on over to Monticello just because I'd never done the small town thing. And I thought, well, that'll be a hoot. And what drew me to it was the Monticello Opera House. When I first time I passed through Monticello and I saw that beautiful old building, I went, well, that's really cool.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
You know, and so I started getting involved. We moved there about 2005, I guess, from Tallahassee. And I, you know, gradually kind of got involved with the theater scene there. Not too much because I'm still a professional actor. So I'm Equity, SAG-AFTRA, and AGVA, belong to all the unions. So I really didn't know how much performing I could or would do there. So I decided I would, maybe my contribution should be as a director, choreographer, producer. And I started my own company, Monticello Acting and Dance Company. Eventually, then we ended up with a studio, so we could rehearse there and not have to rely on the Opera House or rehearse at the Opera House or take up their resources while we're getting ready for a show, because it takes a long time with community theater to put a production together, and we didn't want to use their resources. So we opened a rehearsal studio where I also teach dance. So we offer ballet, tap, jazz, voice, musical comedy acting, did I say piano, guitar, acting classes for adults. So we do a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Actually, we have ballroom going now, too.
That's
so
cool.
I have another teacher that works with me, Idy Coddington, and so that's wonderful. Oh, and a cool. guitar teacher, Rob Stewart's fantastic, and I do the voice and piano
Neat.
Lessons. And I have another voice teacher who sometimes works with us too, Eric
cool.
Ruff. So we, you know, it's a small studio, but it also, my idea was to train actors, start when they're children, but also work with the teens and the adults and just get them better so that we weren't always starting from scratch. Because I felt like when I started, there was a lot of talent there.
Right.
It was just odd. It's such a small town with lots of talent, really. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, and it was interesting and really good, some really good singers. And so they just needed more dance, they needed more acting, but there was already a good base of singers. So, you know, I started working with them, and a lot of the kids that are doing children's theater with me, you know, now and actually moving into our Broadway series, our adult series, they started with me when they were kids. I mean, right now for Beehive, three of the girls that are participating started with me when they were really young doing children's theater.
Wow.
So I got Rachel Britton, who actually has pretty much the lead. It's an ensemble show, but she has the lead.
Yeah.
And she's doing a terrific job. And I've got Evelyn Bass, who also is one of my younger, you know, performers.
She's performed a lot.
She has performed. Not as much, but she has been doing children's theater and now has moved into this level. And then I've also got Leia Vargas, who Leia and her entire family have performed in my shows over the years. And so Leia has done quite a bit.
Right.
So but she's new to having a lead role. Two of my other actresses, though, Rebecca Griffin and Nikki Parker, they've been in a lot of my shows. They're very seasoned, and they're my old timers. I mean, you know. They're barely 40, I think, they are definitely the definite singers, really terrifically good singers.
Very
and
cool.
And the nice, it's a great cast. They're pretty to look at. They're interesting. They're all shapes and sizes. Their vocal abilities are all very different. Someone actually said to me, "Wow, you picked the right voice for each song," and I went, "Oh yeah, I'm so smart." Yeah, but I mean, really, they all sing very differently and beautifully together. So that's fun.
That sounds good. The fact of the matter is, if you've been to Monticello Opera Company, if you've been to the theater, you have an opportunity to be presented with stage performances in an intimate, I would say, more intimate setting, because the theater, the size of the theater itself really brings you right to the stage.
Yeah, we can seat about 290 because we have some seat kills for sound. So we can seat about 290. We used to seat more because we opened the balcony, but we're not doing that as much anymore. So it's about 290.
I mean, if you think about that, you've got a fresh, alive, professional performance. Mm-hmm. It's like being in your living room and you're just on it.
Yeah. Plus, you can eat dinner.
That's
catering.
Right. That's
so
right.
We're one of the few that actually, I think we're the only one that really offers a dining experience before.
I love that.
So that's kind of cool. But you do have to make that reservation in advance for the dinner.
All right, let's get to that. Where do we go to make reservations?
You can go online at MonticelloOperaHouse.org or you can call them at 850-997-4242.
Yeah.
You can also buy tickets for show only at the door.
Right.
But I will tell you, it's filling up fast. I anticipate, you know, that we're going to be selling out.
We go and call ahead.
You might want to make a reservation.
What's that number again?
997-4242.
997-4242.
Or just go online. It's really easy to do online.
Monticello.
OperaHouse.org.
Okay. Good. Melanie Mays, our guest this morning, we're talking about not just one performance, but several performances, several different parts of the community that you're influencing have had opportunity to contribute. Got a couple of minutes. What's the hardest part of your job when you think about bringing art, bringing performance to the region? What's the challenge?
You know, the hardest part is finding enough volunteers. Hmm. We always manage to get by, but it would be so nice if there were even more people who would like to volunteer and or even contribute, because we always need, you know, angels. You know, I would say both the organizations I represent, we need some angels. It's always tough with the arts. That's probably the toughest thing. The other thing is I tend to often wear all the hats. So I am expanding. I have from time to time used other music directors. From time to time I've used other choreographers. And for the next show I'm doing, which is Clue the Musical at the Opera House, done as a dinner theater, I will be using a new director, and I'll just be doing the choreography and music direction.
When does that happen?
That's in March, March 8th through the 24th, I believe. And it'll be dinner theater style. So downstairs in the banquet hall, you get to choose who does the murder.
Oh,
it's
how
based
cool is
on
that?
The it's based on the board game Clue. It's going to be fun.
This
I
is
think.
Why we love Melanie Mace, folks. Thank you for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. You stay with me, folks. We got more coming up. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we are in the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, bringing you all that is of interest this week. Tallahassee folks talking about the things they're doing. We like to say it's really cool people talking about really cool things. Everything that Tallahassee would like to know more about. Well, all of those kind of work. We're trying to get that done. We do it one week at a time. And with the amount of focus we spend with each guest, you know, it's painstaking. But we're getting there. We've had over 2,000 guests in our seven-year history. We start season 8 in February of 2019. Remarkable. Lots of other anniversaries afoot. Probably the most ignoble having to do with the execution of Ted Bundy. That was this last week. Yeah, 41 years ago, I was in Seattle in January of 1978 when the news hit regarding the Chi Omega murders. And it was now 30 years ago, this last Thursday, that Ted Bundy was executed for those slayings. It's remarkable that a community of our size, these days, we hear about shootings in Sebring where five are slain at a bank. Tragically, more disturbingly, we're not as upset by all of that. I mean, I'm sure the people in Sebring are, but have you noticed that? Has it occurred to you that we hear of such horror, and it's just one of another example, another occasion when there are these mass slayings? What a tragic thought that we have become accustomed to this occurring. Well, back in 1978, there was nothing customary about discovering that horrible, horrible outcome. So I would encourage you this way, my friend. Take stock not only of those things you've been given. That is to say, it's always good advice to, you know, hug your loved ones and be sure you tell your family and your kids you love them, your spouse, Be sure that you're kind to your friends. That's all very good advice. I would say, too, collectively, we need to take a step back from the self-directed, self-concerned, self-serving way that we live. And I don't know how to put it any other way. And I don't mean to preach at you, because I'm pointing three fingers back at me. This is my desire for 2019. I don't make resolutions, but I want to do the business, do the due diligence of better attending to the humble parts of my life and of this community, the simpler parts. I think that the constant drive for more achievement, more success, more money, more notoriety, more Facebook posts, for heaven's sakes. I mean, let's occupy ourselves with some of the simpler things. Remembering to make a phone call to a friend we haven't talked to in some time. And yeah, no, make the call. Better yet, go visit that person. If you have to, write them a letter. Put a stamp on it. What does that have to do with changing the way we perceive ourselves and the lives that we live? Well, I think what it does is it reminds us all of the more precious parts of what life is. We then help to better sensitize ourselves to those fleeting moments. When we are desensitized by these tragedies that just seem to bludgeon us one after another, there has to be something in your life, in my life, that pulls me away from all of that. Sometimes it's that newborn in your family. Maybe it's a grandchild or a child, and you look into the face of that infant. Yeah. That'll put you back in touch with the stuff that really matters, see? How about those moments when you receive something from someone else? Let them do something for you. Don't push them aside. How about just being honest with a loved one and saying, you know, there are parts of me that are just not working, and I need to share with you some thought I have about me and what I can do to change the way I'm living. You know, that's based in humility. And humility is the key to much of what I'm talking about. I mean, I think that also starts with gratitude, taking stock of the very things that are happening for you and I. Do you have breath in your lungs? Do you have a place to live tonight or spend the night? Do you have a place to live? Do you have clothes and shelter? Do you have any food? If you have those simple things in your life, well, there's a reason to be grateful. Do you have a friend? Are you connected anywhere with anybody? Well, guess what? If on all those measures or any of those kinds of things that you can think of, that might encourage you and I to take stock, we'd say, you know, count our blessings, right? Well, there are ways in which you can cultivate that. Part of what 211 Big Ben does day in and day out is help people connect with resources. You know, in their history, they began as a crisis counseling hotline. That was decades ago. And these days, they do all kinds of things, even getting people hooked up with, you know, somebody to help fix their house that got damaged during the hurricane. So they have the human service information, right? And they're available 24 hours, and that's the emotional support, the crisis counseling, suicide prevention, all of that. But then they also have this other side of them, we'd say maybe a little bit more pragmatic, I don't know. But it has to do with what it is that you may be looking for if you're new to town, or if you are that person who says, you know, I don't have a friend, and I am struggling with having a place to live, or, you know, I barely have enough money to get from week to week. Well, there's a phone number right in front of you. And they are very good about plugging you in, pointing you in the right direction, getting you the kinds of things that you need to get through to the other side, to sort of tie the knot, complete the sentence, find the friends, find the employment, find the resources you need to live a better life. Seems to me if we're involved in that, maybe we're helping the folks at 211, maybe we're contributing to the folks there at the artist series, and maybe you're just spending time listening to me yak at you with this radio show of ours. Well, it seems to me you're investing yourself wisely, and it's going to come back to you hundredfold. You're going to find yourself taking stock of the more enjoyable parts of the lives that we live, the life that you live, the community that we are. I hope that's true for you today. Stay with me.
Saturday, January 26th at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, the internationally acclaimed Tallahassee Community Chorus presents Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org. Tallahassee Community Chorus Unity 14, celebrating the arts in education and featuring the choirs of Lawton Childs, Leon, Lincoln, and West Orange High Schools, and Bach Middle School of the Arts. Tallahassee Community Chorus, Saturday, January 26th, 7:30 p.m. at Ruby Diamond Concert Hall, Florida State University. Thrill to the inspiring songs and combined voices of six choirs and orchestra, featuring the performance of Howard Hanson's Song of Democracy. Get your tickets now online at tccchorus.org.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
211 Big Bend provides 24 hours a day crisis hotline services for the Big Bend region. And it operates two statewide hotlines, the Florida HIV AIDS hotline and the Family Health Line. It also serves as the local crisis center in the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline Network. The agency is the community's key clearinghouse for information and referral to all human services in the 8-county Big Bend region. It originally began as telephone counseling and referral service back in 1976. For the last 34 years, our guest, Randy Nicholas, has been the president of 211 Big Bend, and he is our guest this morning. How are you, friend?
I am good, thank you.
You're looking sporty.
Yeah, I followed the memo.
Did you? Got the red sweater.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
34 years, man.
Yeah, it's been a great tenure. I've enjoyed it, and I'll still be around
three
for a few
decades
more years.
Plus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you started them 34 years ago, we said this: telephone counseling referral was in operation, mm-hmm. and had a good starting place. Tell us a little bit about the beginnings.
Well, it actually started as a program in 1970 at Florida State University in the Counseling Center, and many volunteers were trained, and they developed an excellent training program to operate it. And we incorporated in 76 to serve the wider community, mm-hmm. And continued that volunteer training and enhanced it, and then started adding new programs and developed additional types of training. And it has actually trained, I was mentioning earlier that we have trained probably close to 4,000 counselors, mm. hotline counselors in our community that have gone on to serve professionally in that role or work in community agencies or just do other things with their life but use the skills that they learned with us to carry on.
which speaks to the manner in which this one organization has contributed so sizably to the welfare of so many, both those, mm-hmm. let's say, who are the recipients of the counsel and care and support, but also those working professionals then who turn around, either they've stayed with you or have turned around and gone further to help expand mm-hmm. the provision of other services.
And in addition to that, we serve the other human service agencies in our community mm-hmm. because they often refer clients to us when mm-hmm. they can no longer help them or they need services beyond their scope. And we refer back to all those agencies with the services that they can provide. So right. it's a very strong network of back and forth assistance.
And by my initial description here, this is the Big Bend. That's why it's called 211 Big Bend.
Correct.
We're talking how many counties
eight,
here?
Eight counties.
Yeah.
From all the way from Franklin up to Liberty and Gadsden over to Taylor, Madison, and in between Jefferson. Leon, Wakulla. So I think that covered all eight. But the services actually extend beyond that when you come into some of the specialized because we do we answer the calls for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline mm-hmm. for 14 counties.
Wow.
Including further western counties.
So if I'm living out there in Lake City or maybe Marianna or Thomasville, somewhere outside of the proper Tallahassee proper area, right?
Panama City region. There's like a 7-6 county area over there that we serve with the Lifeline. And we actually answer after hours calls for the 211 centers in the Panhandle. So we'd cover the Panhandle in different ways. And then, of course, we have our statewide lines, which includes all 67 counties.
When I think of those folks who call you for that kind of support, and we'll just stay there for the moment. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in crisis, and they are looking for help. Hopefully they have found your phone number, right?
We hope they know about it, and that's one of our goals is to improve that marketing and awareness.
Well, and that's one of the reasons, so I'm glad you're here.
I appreciate this.
There's about 26,000 listeners this week that are going to learn more about what you do mm-hmm. and what you've been doing for 34
Great.
Years. It must be a good gig because you're still there.
we have
Your wife would like to know, right?
Well, my wife jokes that she's been married to 211 Big Bend as long as she's been married to me, because we got married in 84 and started here in 85.
Oh my.
So
lifelong pursuit. And the two of you together, I have the good fortune of having met her and met you at the same time, and clearly a kind of tag team mutuality, supporting each other, and that's got to be an able resource for you. You get through at the end of the day, whenever that is. I don't know if there is an end to your day.
Yeah, but sometimes there isn't. Sometimes.
We'll imagine that there is some point at which you actually get to go home.
Right, right.
And you reconnect. I can say this on my behalf. My wife, for now, we've been together 40 years. I'm not in a hospital somewhere, and I'm not in prison, and I attribute that to her more than anything else.
Sometimes your significant other is the key person in your life to make it a better life, let me tell you.
Indeed, and so oftentimes these folks that your organization and organizations like yours trying to intervene, trying to help, they're missing that in a lot of cases, aren't
mm-hmm.
they? They're missing that lifeline, we'll say.
Well, we try to help people who are isolated, lonely, depressed. We have many calls related to mental health issues. Mm-hmm. We have people that just need basic needs services, from mm-hmm. food and shelter to financial assistance to pay their utilities. And we help with a lot of specialized areas, too. So it's...
Yeah.
You know, it's helping the person that's alone or helping a family that just needs
some orientation.
Yeah, they need a direction to go, and we're the starting
point. I like
point.
That about 211 because mm-hmm. it isn't just one thing or another. You guys are I guess it would be fair to say, comprehensive about that. You really are got your hands out there to help in whatever way you can.
Well, we're good. Our counselors are good, active listeners, and they can help identify what the issues our family's dealing with or person's dealing with. And we have a database of resources that we maintain. It's comprehensive of all the human services in the
fantastic.
Area.
Fantastic. Talking to Randy Nicholas, he's the president of 2-on-1 Big Bend. You stay with me. We've got more with Randy. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back talking with Randy Nicholas. 34 years heading up this remarkable group of people. A well-organized organization by all accounts. And this is a guy, if you don't know, he served as a founding board member for the Institute of Nonprofit Innovation and Excellence, which is a fairly new thing, but it has come about as a way of trying to help nonprofits like 2-on-1 Big Bend do better what they do, especially from a, we'll say, marketing, administrative, you know, right? Kind of standpoint, how to do what they do. Yeah. He's also a graduate of Leadership Tallahassee Class 9. We mentioned his wife earlier. They've been together for more than 34 years. Miriam, bless you. And they have two grown children and a cat. I have a cat.
I love a cat.
Do you like cats?
Yeah.
See, I have to admit, I'm not a cat lover, but this cat I really like. So maybe I'm changing.
It was a surprise to me when I had my I adopted a cat by feeding it when it was stray, and my wife said, "You own that cat."
That's
now.
It now, baby.
And it kind of grew on
what's
me.
What's your cat's name?
My current cat is Charlie.
See, that's a good name for your cat, Charlie. I like that.
Yeah, it's got a little ring to it.
It does. Randy and Charlie hanging out. Now I bring all that to this conversation. Mm-hmm. Because I have a method to my madness. There's a kind of attitude, I think, a lot of times in trying to help folks, right? We have to be patient enough that if we're smart, we'll wait for them to reach out to us, come our direction. But that's a fine line, isn't it? There's a kind of balancing between I'm here for you, but I'm not here to run after you.
Well, you want people to seek help, and you want to empower them to get the help and create the help they need. But sometimes they need assistance in doing that. They need a little encouragement. They need some motivation. So you balance kind of them calling you, and you. Sometimes we follow up with
people. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
We sometimes provide some advocacy with other organizations to get them services.
Okay.
We had a really good example, just a month ago. Somebody struggled with the hurricane, as many did, and had roof damage. Insurance company said, "Yeah, we'll help cover the cost of that." But she found out the house was in her name and another relative's name. That relative was no longer living. Mm. And there was a very difficult scenario she had to maneuver to work it out. And so we finally, after several weeks of figuring out things, we got her connected with legal services in North Florida, and they are now helping her resolve that.
So if I'm sitting here and I think of 211 Big Bend as a suicide hotline, I am really not being fair.
That's much more.
Because you guys are taking it upon yourselves to figure out how to contribute to life's to people's welfare, right? And that could be a damaged roof, or finding maybe a place to get help with food, or whatever.
We often call ourselves a gateway to other services.
I see.
And so during hurricanes, for instance, the city, county, emergency management advertises our 211 number for people to call us so that we can provide them with information, support, and follow-up as needed.
Steering them in the right direction. Yeah. Did you have opportunity then we talked about Hurricane Michael, and we've talked about it here a lot. Mm-hmm. Allison Tant Richard was on the show here about a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember her being on the phone with me 2 days after. And the reports that she was providing, eyewitness accounts, were staggering. The beat goes on, and the reports have continued.
Right.
211 Big Bend had an intimate part of that, or an integral role in dealing with all of that?
Yes. Normally, in a month, we might answer 1,200, 1,300 hotline calls on 211. During the month of October, when Hurricane Michael came through, we answered, I think, 4,300 calls, and then over 2,000 the next month, and a lot of those were related to the hurricane. We actually spent 3 days in the Emergency Operations Center answering calls, because we closed our building. Our power was out for a few days, which brings me to, we are getting a generator, so we're very happy about that. And we'll be able to sustain our services.
How cool is that?
No matter what the power situation is.
That is a good thing.
But we are very involved with our community's community organizations active in disaster, COAD, and we are a core
fantastic
agency in that group.
You know, because you're nonprofit, then the business of funding remains a constant for you, particularly since, you know, you're the head guy, and so everybody's looking in your direction when it gets time to sign the checks. That's an ongoing challenge, isn't it?
We start over every year, just about, with new contracts for funding, for services. We get donations. We do special events. Like next month, we'll be doing a Night of Hope event, and that's coming up on February 21st. We raise over $40,000.
Wow.
Last year, that was 43, I think. And
wow.
That helps us sustain a lot of our services that aren't paid through the contracts and other donations that we get.
Indeed.
So, but I have several contracts. A lot of them are very small. Some are larger, like the state hotlines. We get city and county funding, get United Way funding. We have other services. One of our programs is Help Me Grow, which is promoting assessment of child development milestones.
Very cool.
And helping people get ready, or kids get ready for future life challenges.
Yeah. We've had that conversation, too, with folks from places like the Florida Chamber, all of their studies, or from United Way, the ALICE program.
Right.
And you talk about families that are day-to-day living with some of the anomalies, so the woman has an opportunity to take this job, but the job won't pay enough for her to be able to give up the public funding she's getting.
Or to cover her child
care. To cover
care.
The child care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they call it falling off the cliff. You know, if you take this job, boom, the bottom comes up real fast.
Yeah, there are, I think, a lot of dilemmas with our system sometimes in that regard. But, that is a significant issue in our community. I think I'm not sure what the current statistic is. It might be 20% to 22%.
I think that's about right.
Of families fall in that ALICE category. Yep. They're working, they're earning money, but they're not earning enough to save and deal with emergencies and crises that they face. Plus, you have people that are impoverished who maybe aren't working or maybe working part-time. But when you add all those groups together, you're talking 40-some percent of our community, of our Leon County.
And it's striking, too, how many of those families are confined to one or two zip codes. And, you know, we had that opportunity last year to talk with folks at the Florida Chamber, and they said, you know, if you look at that 04 zip code and you control for student population, you still have residents that are year-round residents, and they're at or below poverty line. I think the number was like 40-45% of that zip code.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I, you know, one of the challenges is how do you help people that call for the basic needs, and there are limited resources in our community. So we can refer to those that are available, but oftentimes there just isn't a resource to refer to when somebody like that calls. So I know our community is working on it, and we're also trying to help the individual come up with creative ways to help themselves, whether learning about.
It's called 2-on-1 Big Bend. I've got the president, the man in charge, Randy Nicholas, is with us, our guest. He'll be with us for a few more minutes, so don't go away. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Learning Program today. Or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. childcare.fsu.edu. 850-644-7970.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about this remarkable organization for its lifetime, now, I guess, stretching better than 40 years, really, if you go all the way back to 1976 when Telephone Counseling and Referral Service was incorporated. What do you love most about your job?
I love the variety. We deal with every possible issue, human service issue in the community. I love that we're helping not only callers and people in the community, but other providers of services. And we help businesses. Sometimes a business manager will call us and say, I have an employee with this issue. It's causing them all kinds of problems. How can you help? Or where do I need to go to get help for him? So we help a lot of different types of folks. And we work with a lot of volunteers. We have paid staff, but we also have trained volunteers. And I feel like I'm helping people grow and develop skills and move on and help others.
On a day-to-day basis, how do you spend most of your time? Or is that different from day to day?
Well, it is different, but I spend a lot of time working on contracts and budgets and personnel and a little bit of
administrative kind of stuff.
I do a little bit of the marketing, a little bit of the fundraising, board development, working with, you know, different agencies and collaborations in the community. It's hands-on in many different ways.
In that respect, like any good leader in an organization, CEO type individual, you're the face, you're the hand, you're the voice that people recognize. And Dan Holloway, who I've known for, you know, 35 years or better, and I mentioned Randy Nicholas, and he laughed. He said, yeah, he said, I was on the board there for 2-on-1, but I just aged out.
He was on for 8 years, and he termed out. He had to leave. Not that I wanted them to.
No, but so that's built into your charter, I guess, or your...
Yeah, our bylaws or policy says they can only stay on for 8 years, and that's a long time to be on a board.
That's a long time.
So it's time to, you know, move on sometimes.
Looking for fresh ideas.
Fresh ideas. Well, we sorted out, like I said, we have a comprehensive database, and we have it all indexed. We use national standards to index it so we can find the information, we can sort it, and we can help other people find those resources. Mm. So specialized counselors, we have a mental health navigator that can follow up with people and teach them how to use the directory that's available for looking for a counselor.
We talk about it often here, the way in which Tallahassee has changed and is changing. And I think this is a refreshing example of a kind of collaboration then that we could probably learn some lessons from. When we talk about the new Tallahassee that is less competitive, more collaborative, less siloed, you know, resources being shared, even if it's just sharing information. I think I said this last week. Talk about arts and entertainment for a moment, and how many organizations compete with each other over a scrappy little bit of funding, you know, and there's, it develops a kind of turfdom. You folks come in and say, yeah, you know, there is need for funding that we all do have to try to go after, but when it comes to the delivery side, we want to share that information and the resources to the best of our ability.
Yeah, I think that's critical. I mean, we have a very collaborative community, and I think our agency is probably one of the most collaborative agencies in a community of collaborators. We do have a free directory. People can go online on our website and research our information and find stuff to help them. We share that, customize it for others. We try to work to meet the needs of our communities, and are always adapting. But we have to share. We have to share what we are doing. We maintain it. We have to manage the maintenance of it.
Right.
But we want to share it once we
work.
Do that.
I asked you what you like most. What do you like least about your job?
I think the annual routine of having to find or get the same dollars we got last year proven.
Yeah.
We have already proven, I think, that the services are effective and doing good.
Yeah.
And then you got to start over again and kind of go through those processes again.
It's the agricultural part of the business because you have to constantly till and then sow and then wait and hope that the rain comes and then do your harvest.
I think if we had more time to be more creative, we could solve problems more effectively. We could work together more effectively. And I think just getting through some of that administrative stuff and weeding down some of that.
Do you have? It sounds as though you have a picture of that in mind. Have you come to that where you said, you know, if we could create this for a lot of agencies like ours, that would take up that? I guess United Way is supposed to be kind of that, right?
Well,
as a funding source.
The United Way is going to a 2-year funding stream. The city and county just went to a 2-year funding stream, so that eliminates 1 year
of
seeking
it.
That. That's a step in the right direction. People get too caught up also in the how much money is going towards administrative expenses, which is a problem because administrative expenses are required to run an organization. So you shouldn't be looking at that. You should be looking at the services that are being provided, no matter how they're spending that money. What's the result? Don't worry. Don't get caught up with some of the semantics. That's an issue. I think we need more money for capacity building, infrastructure that a lot of contracts don't pay for.
Just don't cover.
Yeah.
You mentioned marketing a little bit ago, and that, of course, rings a bell with me. I think a lot about some of the sort of what I think of as sort of backward thinking about nonprofits spending money on marketing themselves. Do you experience that? Is there a kind of, we shouldn't be doing that, that's a waste of resources?
Again, it's marketing is critical. The more marketing we do, if it's effective marketing, the better results we get. And it tells our story. It helps people know what we do and tells people that we're there for them. But a lot of places don't, a lot of our contracts, again, don't fund the marketing part.
Well, and we've had a number of folks come to us who work within various nonprofit organizations, and they'll tell me, well, no, our board vehemently prohibits us spending any money on any kind of advertising. whatsoever. And they don't like it because they feel like their hands are tied.
So we do marketing, but it's very low-cost marketing.
Yeah.
We don't pay for a lot of advertising. We do social media, some electronic newsletters, a little bit of mail, but there just isn't enough money to pay for the print and some of the other media.
Well, folks, a pleasure having this man with us, Randy Nicholas, who I guess he's working on his next 34 years as president of 211 Big Bend. We certainly hope him hope that he'll hang around with us for as many years as
I'll be around for
God,
a few
God
more
will
years.
Grant him and grant us, because this guy's the real deal, folks. I want to tell you right now. So if you see Randy and Miriam out around somewhere at a grocery store or something, just go up and shake his hand. Thank him for 34 years of devotion to this organization and the well-being of our community. And you can tell him the Moose said to say so.
Thank you, Brian.
We appreciate you very much. Folks, that's what I've got for you today. It is our pleasure to bring you Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Online Radio. You'll find us at moosemagnificat.com. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Mardi Gras is March 5th, and Tasty Pastry Bakery is busy baking up their famous New Orleans King Cakes just for you. This traditional cake is a coffee cake formed in an oval ring and decorated with brightly colored sugar, purple, green, and gold, to signify justice, faith, and wealth. Baked into each cake, a tiny plastic infant signifies Christ the King. When the cake is sliced, whoever gets the plastic infant in their piece of cake is named King for a day and is supposed to bring a king cake next year. Choose from an assortment of fillings: apple, cherry, blueberry, pineapple, raspberry, strawberry, or cream cheese. Get yours today. Tasty Pastry Bakery in the Market District on Market Street, 6:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online at tastypastrybakery.com.
The good old-fashioned bakery. Remember Tasty Pastry.
Call 893-3752.